Right, so, let's have some, yeah. Right, so, we are going to be in 1 Samuel 13, and we're going to read verses 16 to 23. 1 Samuel 13, it's in the Old Testament. That's for Sharon's benefit, it's in the Old Testament. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to try and explain myself a little bit. I'm getting ever so squinty with stuff. I've got glasses, but I don't wear them very often. 1 Samuel 13, verses 16 to 23. Well, I'm just going to start reading this. So, it says here, Saul, Jonathan, his son... There was going to be a bit of a battle that was going to take place here with the Philistines. So Saul, Jonathan, his son, and the people present with them remained in Gibeah, I think that is, of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped at Mishmash, I think that is. Is that right? Then raiders came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned onto the road to Ophrah, as in Ophrah Winfrey, I think. To the land of Sheol. Another company turned to the road to Beth Horon, and another company turned to the road of the border that overlooks the valley of Zeboim towards the wilderness. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords or spears. But all the Israelites would go down to the Philistines to sharpen each his man's plowshare, or plow, his mattock, his axe, and his sickle. And the charge for sharpening was a pim, no idea what that is, for the plowshares, the mattocks, the forks, and the axes, and to set the points of the goads. So it came about on the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in any of the hands of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan. But they were found with Saul and Jonathan and his son. And the garrisons of the Philistines went out to the pass of Mishmash. Right, bit of a strange set of circumstances where there's going to be a battle with the Philistines. But the Israelites didn't have any weapons. Bit of a strange set of circumstances. Now, I get a real sense that God wants to not only encourage us, but challenge us this morning. And it's all to do with this whole theme that we've been looking at for the last few weeks. It's all to do with discipleship. And we've been looking at tools to do with discipleship. That's what we've been looking at, isn't it? And that's what God wants to talk to us about today. Tools of discipleship. If I was to summarise what I want to say this morning, it would be this. It's the sense that God wants to raise up blacksmiths. Okay? I'll come back to that in a sec. In the church. Because there's a lack. And I mean that in a spiritual sense for the role of discipleship. And also to put in our hands weapons. So it says here, doesn't it, in this little passage, it says that there was no blacksmith in the land of Israel, which is a truly bizarre thing, in my opinion. That is truly bizarre, because blacksmiths are pretty... It's the most common name in this country, hence, you know, my name's Dan Smith. I'm obviously from a line of blacksmiths at some point in my life. But basically, a blacksmith was what? A metal worker? Yeah, a metal worker. And they would do what? Make stuff. Make tools with metal. Heat it up and roll it out and get it on the anvil and bang it into shape, basically. Make tools. Horseshoes, I suppose, is the most common one we think of, isn't it? Weapons, nails. They sharpen stuff. All kinds of stuff. They're extremely common, but extremely essential. Extremely important, because without tools you can't do anything. You can't do anything without tools, can you? Now, who's ever seen, there was a BBC drama about a year ago called Banished. Anyone see that? It's all about. Did you say it? Banished to Australia. It was a British penal colony, basically. It was the first Brits to colonise Australia. And in it was an evil blacksmith. There was an evil blacksmith in it. And there was this little, basically, makeshift sort of prison in Australia. And the blacksmith was a thoroughly unpleasant individual. He was really obnoxious and horrible. And he had it in for one of the other prisoners and decided to start stealing his food and effectively try and starve him to death. Now, it was a hangable offence to steal another prisoner's food. And the prison governor knew about this, but refused to hang him. Because they couldn't take the chance of not having a blacksmith. They needed the blacksmith so much, they were willing to overlook the fact that he was stealing other prisoners' food so that they, you know, that they could keep him working, keep producing the tools that they needed to actually survive. And basically the plot thickened where all the other prisoners conspired and they murdered the blacksmith. And so it went on. But it just shows you that it was such an important thing that they were prepared to overlook the fact that he was effectively starving this guy to death. It's a really horrible set of circumstances. So it just gives you an idea, sort of how important that actual role was. Albeit it was really common, but if you haven't got a blacksmith, you haven't got any tools. So we've been talking about tools for some weeks. Tools for what? What we've been talking about, tools for what? Discipleship? Yeah. Now, I would think of it like this. The tools of the discipleship that we've been talking about are things for everyday living. I think that's fair. So what are the things we've been looking at? Can anybody remember? The coin. So what was all that about? Fishing and following, was it? What else did we have?
Passport.
Yeah, that was all about identity. We had, what else? Circle. So that was repenting and believing. Yeah.
Triangle.
Yeah. What was that one? That was Maddie's.
Yeah,
go on then.
It's
up and out. Up and out. Okay, so that's God, us, and outside the church. I think, what was it, the pendulum? Right, okay, so that what was all that about?
Abiding and resting in God and then fruitfulness.
Fruitfulness, and there was another one there. So, yeah, abiding, yeah, resting, working, fruitfulness, pruning. Yeah, there we go. I think there's a few more to come, isn't there? And I just sense that God, okay, has spoke to me about this, that these tools are really important for everyday living. That's what these are, these discipleship tools that we've been talking about. They're for everyday, day-to-day existence, everyday life, the stuff that we're going to encounter on a daily basis. And we need those. We need those. We desperately need those to be in place, and we desperately need to get a hold of those things. So everything I'm going to say today is going to reinforce that. It's designed to reinforce that. Now, what are tools for? What do they allow us to do? Oh, I don't want to cover up your phone. Not a lot of room on here. Oh, will it? Okay. What do tools do? Well, they're just basically... It's like a mechanism, isn't it? It's a means to do something.
Sometimes more easily.
Much more easily. Yeah. So the tools that we've been talking about over the last month or so, they are designed to assist us in our understanding, assist us in how to think, assist us in being instructed. Give us ways of looking at life, tackling problems. Yeah, it's good stuff. It's all at a very basic level, which is what we all need. And so that is why tools are important, because without them, sometimes we can get a bit sort of lost. Things can get a little bit fogged up. Now, who's ever tried to do a job with a tool that is effectively no use? Oh, what was that, Maddie?
Chopping trees.
So what was that with? A blunt axe?
It was, yeah.
How did you get on with that?
Not very far.
No. And I've told you the story about the tree stump in my garden. I think you might, some of you remember, it's a great big thing like this. And I know what it's like to try and chop wood with a blunt axe. It's not even worth the hassle, to be honest. I just chucked the thing away in the end and got a new axe. So to try and do a job with a tool that is effectively useless, okay, it doesn't help you in any way, shape or form. And especially if we're talking about cutting or chopping, that kind of thing, it is really hard work. It drains the life out of you if you're trying to chop wood or get rid of a tree stump and the axe is blunt. You're just knackered at the end of it. You're just tired out by it. I can tell you the difference. If you get an axe that is brand new and it's got a brand new edge on it, and you start hitting that stump and you start to see it getting destroyed in front of your eyes, you think, why didn't I do this earlier? It makes such a difference to have a sharp edge. And that is the thing I want to talk to us today. It's about really having relationships, okay, that have an edge to them. And that's what we want to talk about today. But in order to do that, you need a blacksmith, okay? Now, the tools that we've been talking about, they're all fine, they're all good stuff. But the reality of it is, without a blacksmith, without a relationship element to these things that we've spoken about, I'll tell you now, they'll become ineffective. All of this good stuff that we've been speaking about for the last couple of months, the circle, in, out, up, triangle. I won't do a big fish, little fish. Maybe that could be a tool, big fish, little fish, I don't know. Cardboard box. All of those things are great, okay, and when you first hear them, they have an edge to them. Okay, they have an impact. But I can guarantee you that as life goes on, those things become ineffective unless there is an ongoing process alongside using those tools. Okay, because things in life just do that. You take a plough going through mud with stones, grit, whatever's in there, tree roots, whatever you want to call it, that edge on that ploughshare will become blunt. It's just a fact of life. It will happen. That axe, you hit that stump enough times, the edge of it will become blunt. Okay? There's no miraculous, invisible sharpening thing going on there. It will become blunt. It is a fact of life. And it's the same with the tools of discipleship. We might start off enthusiastically, but believe me, if there's no process going on, they will become blunt. They will become ineffective. And so that's what I really want to focus on this morning, is God wants to say to us, actually, he wants more than that for us. He doesn't want us just to say, oh, that was a nice teaching, oh, that was interesting. He wants us to get a hold of a process that is ongoing, okay, so that he can be really effective in our everyday lives. So the stuff described here in Samuel, all the tools, just stuff that they needed to live on a daily basis. We're talking about an axe, we're talking about a mattock, which I had to look that one up. I think it's just some sort of cutting, chopping tool. We're talking about sickles, we're talking about ploughs, we're talking about goads for goats here. This stuff wasn't, you know, technologically advanced, so to speak. It was stuff that they required to actually live on a daily basis. They needed that stuff. And in order to live properly and effectively, they needed those tools to have a sharp edge on them. Because they'll be working three times as hard just to go about their daily life. with a, you know, try, can you imagine living back then? If that's what you're relying on, and what you've got to rely on is completely ineffective, that will just drain the life out of you. Spiritually, that is the same principle. That's what I want us to get hold of this morning. It is the same principle in a spiritual sense. If you want to live with energy, if you want to live with a bit of passion and zest for the things of God, then I think you need to get hold of this morning, what I'm talking about. So there was no blacksmith in Israel. No blacksmith in Israel. Seemed to me that was a deliberate strategy from the Philistines to keep them under control and to limit their ability to attack. And do you know what? The enemy does exactly the same to us. He wants to limit our ability to live our everyday lives in God's power. Okay? He wants to limit our ability to be able to move out and branch out. So we need a blacksmith. That's what we need. Spiritually, we all need blacksmiths in our lives. Bit of a strange concept. But it's just a picture. A lot of this stuff in the Bible, okay, the Holy Spirit uses it, okay, as a picture to teach us, to show us something. So, one of the roles of a blacksmith was what it says here, which is to basically sharpen tools. To put the edge back on. And it says, you know, they had to go to a blacksmith where the Philistines were, and they were charged a pin. Whatever that is. Yeah. I don't know whether we said get us a round of pims, I don't know. But so they need a blacksmith to maintain or put back on to that tool the edge, the sharpness that was required, okay, for that to for them to do what they needed to do. What does that look like then for us in a spiritual sense? Well, it's basically this. It boils down to our relationships. That's what it basically boils down to. When everything's said and done, it's all about relationships. Now, in Proverbs 27:17, it just says this. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. I love that verse. And it's a really good, it's a real good picture, isn't it? Quite often, when I think of that, I think of sparks flying. You do, don't you? Because you know if you hit metal on metal long enough, you can, you know, you grind it down, there's a bit of sparkiness going on. That's okay, as long as it doesn't get out of hand. You know, we can live with that a little bit. So, what I'm talking about is having relationships with other people whereby an edge or a sharpness is put on the on one another. Yeah. And I thought of this. You're like this. Not putting the other person on edge. Like that. I thought that was quite good. So it's about putting an edge on each other, but not putting each other on edge. Who's ever been in a relationship of some description where that other person puts you on edge? Yeah. You know what that looks like, don't you? You know, it should be beneficial, but actually it isn't. You know, you sort of come away thinking, oh man, help. God, help. Yeah? We all know what that feels like. That's not what we want to achieve. We don't want to put each other on edge. We want to put an edge on one another. We want to bring a sharpness to one another in God, in Christ. So, this is the academic part of the talk now. So, some people may have to leave. I don't know. But what we need in our relationships is dynamics. That's what we need. We need and we hear that word flitting around all over the place nowadays. Oh yeah, group dynamics, and the dynamics weren't quite right, and I went there and the dynamics were a bit weird and wonderful. They're saying, what are you talking about? What dynamics? But so I thought, let's get, you know, academic here. Let's look it up in the dictionary. I'm not doing it at the minute. I've done 15 minutes. Okay, so dynamics. Okay, I looked this up in the dictionary, and there's two definitions here. And I think both of them are quite relevant, actually. So the first one is a branch of mechanics, right, concerned with motion of bodies under the action of forces. No idea what that means. No, I'm joking. Simon, do you want to come and explain? No. Well, to me, I think that is sort of almost what I'm talking about here. Let's break that down a little bit, shall we? Forces, the branch of mechanics, concerned with motion. Yeah, my arm is moving backwards and forwards. Of bodies. Yeah, so that's that. Under the action of forces. So, I don't know, it could be something else that's making that do that. So, maybe that's the process. I'm not sure, but let's pretend that's a sharpening process, shall we? So I think that fits. Okay, then the second definition is this. It says, the forces or properties which stimulate, this is probably more to the point in relation to what I'm saying here, which stimulate growth, development or change. Yeah, so it's the forces or properties which stimulate growth, development or change. That's what we need in our relationships, is dynamics. We need the forces, we need the properties which stimulate growth, development and change in our relationships as Christians with one another. Okay? That is what I mean when we're talking about as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Yeah? That is what I'm talking about when we're talking about putting the edge on one another. Stimulating each other in growth, development and change. And that can only be achieved through relationships. There's no other way it can be done. Yes, we have a relationship with God and God does transform us. But don't be duped into thinking, right, that is the only way that God brings about change. Unfortunately, he uses all of us to do that. And to do that, we have to actually meet with each other at some point. You have to have a meeting with another person at some point in your life to actually bring that about. Because otherwise, it will not happen. I know that sounds really simple, but it won't. It won't happen. Even if you've got good intentions and you never do it, it won't happen. Okay? At some point in your life, you have to make a choice to say, I'm going to meet with another Christian. And the reason for that is for this dynamic to take place. It's not just about a social thing. Actually, there's another element, okay, that is required. So, yeah, it's all about relationships. And it's about relationships, to try and open out a little bit more, which are open. There's some openness in those relationships. Yeah. There's a little bit of vulnerability in that relationship. There's a little bit of encouragement going on there. Yeah? A little bit of challenge and a little bit of accountability going on. All those elements, okay? I mean, I'm sure there's loads of other stuff we could all add to that. But they're like the main things that sort of immediately come to my mind. I need a bit of openness, a bit of vulnerability, a bit of encouraging going on, a bit of challenging, and a bit of accountability. Now, I'm not going to go into that in any depth at this point. So I've got two questions, okay? The first question is this. Are you in a relationship with a blacksmith? You are? What's his name? Are you in a relationship with a blacksmith? So what I'm saying to you is this. Quite clearly, my wife married a smith, so I don't mean in that way. I'm not a blacksmith, anyone, you know. I was from a line of shoe cobblers, apparently. But are you in a relationship with a blacksmith? Meaning, do you have any relationship with at least one other person, okay, where there is this dynamic that I am talking about? This dynamic of stimulating growth and change and development. You do. Good. Good. And where there's this dynamic of openness, vulnerability, encouragement, challenge and accountability. Ask yourself that question. Because you could dupe yourself and say, well, I've got loads of friends. You could dupe yourself and say, oh, well, you know, I go out, I socialise, I go here, I go there. That's not what I'm talking about. In fact, some of those type of relationships are not always very helpful. If you're particularly friendly with someone, sometimes you get to a place in a relationship where you're so friendly with somebody that actually they don't always say the things that they need to say to you. Have you ever been in that, where you sort of like someone so much that actually you think, oh, I don't want to hurt them? You're not like that. You're blunt. You're hard. But I put my hand up, and I have sometimes done that. I've not said things or done things that I should have said and done. But wait, I'm going to send you out in a minute. But so sometimes I've done that. Okay, so social relationships is not what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's a deliberate choice to find somebody that you know is going to, well, you know that process will take place, will do you some good. So all this stuff that we've spoken about the last few weeks about repenting, believing, identity, in, out, up, oops, upside your head or whatever it is. Those things, okay, will have no effect in the long term unless that is going on. This dynamic is taking place. Because you'll go from this place and forget about it. You will. It will happen. Eventually, the things of life will take over and you will forget about it and remember it at some point in the distant future. Go, yeah, that was a little bit interesting, but I've forgotten all about it now. It didn't really do that much. It doesn't work unless this dynamic's in place. So, are you in relationship with a blacksmith? If you're not, then surely there is something that you can do about it. There surely is something that you can do about it. You can make a deliberate choice, starting this morning, to think about, do you know what, how can I find one? How can I find somebody that can bring that dynamic into my life? It doesn't have to be someone you like. It helps, but it doesn't have to be. Okay, and that sounds weird, but it doesn't have to be. Some people in this life are there for a reason, and they're there to do God's work and to bring stuff out of you that you didn't know was there. And they're not always the people you expect. So just be open. Just be open to that. Don't always look for the most obvious person. So just think, how can I change that? Come to God and say, Lord, I need a blacksmith. So come into my life, and these tools that you've put into my life, I want you to put an edge on them and start working in me in a really deep and effective way. Okay? That's an encouragement to pray that. Or get a hold of somebody, or, you know, ring somebody, or grab a hold of someone today, or whatever it takes. Do it. Because it's really, really important. So, the second question would be this. Are you prepared to be a blacksmith? Because it's a reversible role. It's like one of those jumpers that you can turn inside out. You know, you can have orange hair, turn it inside out, and have, I don't know, sunset yellow. I don't know. But it's a two-way thing. You can have a relationship with a blacksmith, okay? And you can be one. You can be one. God has put everything required, really, in everybody to have some effect, some impact on another person in some way, shape or form. Because we have all got experiences that we can share. We've all got knowledge. We've all got wisdom of some description that we can share. We've all got an encouragement that we can give to another person. We've all got the ability to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. We've all got the ability to prophesy, haven't we? We've all got the ability to hear a word of knowledge. We've all got the ability to challenge somebody. We've all got that there. It's just a case of whether we choose to do that or not. And the encouragement this morning would be this, that are you willing to do that? Sometimes that is takes a little bit of sacrifice. It takes a little bit of time. And sometimes that will mean being in situations that are not particularly comfortable. And I've had that experience where I thought, okay, I want to get alongside a person and try and get this process started. And it's not always easy. You will come up against obstacles. You will come up against situations that are not even logical. You think, well, why is that person reacting like that? Talking sense to them. I'm talking sense. Why aren't you listening? But you've got to persevere and not give up. And my encouragement would be this, that you should step out in that more and more. Because the more we do that, the more we foster that culture of discipling one another in Christ. And surely that's what we're meant to do. That's what we're built to do. That's what we're designed to do, isn't it? That's what God wants in the church. He wants the body to build itself up in love, I think it says, in Ephesians somewhere. So that would be my encouragement today. And it's starting off with the everyday things of life, which is the tools that we've been talking about. Let's start there. Let's start with those things. So those two questions, I want you to think about them. Now, the thing I just want to end with is this, is that there was two things here going on in Samuel. There was the whole thing about the tools for everyday living, the sickle, the mattock, the axe, the plowshare. But the other thing that's mentioned here is about the weapons. Because they didn't have any. The only two people that had weapons, it seems to be, were Saul and his son Jonathan. And that was because they didn't have any blacksmiths to actually make them. They didn't have any blacksmiths to make them. And as a result of that, they were extremely limited in their ability to have an army and to actually attack. And as I've been thinking about this, I just feel like God was sort of saying to me that actually that's that has been often my observation and my experience as a Christian and in church. That sometimes you feel like the church is limited. You ever felt that? You ever had that frustration? God, come on, what's going on, Lord? I feel limited. I feel that we haven't got the capability to move forward and take ground. Quite often I felt like that. And maybe that's a reality. Maybe that is a reality. And quite often you see maybe one or two people moving more powerfully in the things of God. And it's sort of like this picture here. There was just Saul and there was just his son Jonathan with the weapons. It was just those two people. And yet there's a whole nation behind them. And I feel sometimes like that. The church is a little bit like that. It's just like a few that are able to take ground. And there's like the whole church is there, sort of a little bit sort of there in the background, a little bit dormant, waiting to step out. But I just think there's an encouragement this morning from the Holy Spirit. And that is this. That may be the case. That may have been our experience. It's been my experience to a certain extent, to quite a large extent. However, God is saying, start this process, okay, with these everyday tools. Start sharpening those up, okay? God wants to raise up blacksmiths, people that are able to put an edge on one another spiritually. Okay, let's start doing that. Let's start raising those people up. Let those people step out. Then we'll be in a stronger position to produce the weapons and put them in the hands of those people that need them to create an army to take back ground. But it's got to start with the first one. Let's not think that if we can't even disciple one another in the everyday things, that we're going to advance as an army and take back the ground spiritually, because that's a lie. It won't happen. So that's my encouragement. I just feel like God has been saying that. Let's sort out this everyday stuff, and then once we're in a culture of that, once we're in a flow of that, let's then start producing the weapons we need and putting them in the hands of those people. So we've talked previously, haven't we, about, I think it was in Genesis, about the 318. They were born into Abraham's house, and they were raised to be these fighting men. Okay, it's got to be a process that takes place. It's got to be a process. So yeah, it's the encouragement, okay? Because the enemy can limit us if we don't get this. We don't get a hold of these tools. We don't keep them sharp. Satan will limit us. Okay? And we won't really advance much further. And we may remain this size. We may get a little bit bigger or whatever. But we want to see God moving more powerfully than that, don't we? We want to see people come to Christ. We want to see that. So that's where it starts.